You're listening to Transform Squadron. The podcast is zonebase.org. I'm Rob. Hi. This is the January 2019 edition of the show, meaning it's the first episode of the brand new year, first show of the new year. I hope everyone has a happy new year, and I know I plan to build upon my successes of 2018. 2018 was just a great year for me, both professionally and personally, and I'm hoping to, if not do that again, do it bigger. So that's what I got in mind for the next year. Hope everyone else has good success and happiness over the next year. Though if you're like me, you're probably spending the next few weeks not doing very much because, holy crap, Christmas was 2 weeks ago. Anyway. You know, I was thinking about things I wanted to do over the next year, and I'm not going to go too much into my personal life or professional life here, but one thing I wanted to do, you know, for the past year, the past couple of months, I started trying to up the pictures on my toy-based posts on ZoneBase, just so they're better, because before I was content to take a picture of a toy sitting on my desk or my TV tray in the living room or whatever with my phone, and I felt that was okay. Because, you know, I don't pretend to be a professional blogger. I'm not a professional photographer. I'm a fan. I'm a fan like you. The ZoneBase is my way to, I guess, share my enjoyment of all this stuff with people who read it. You know, I do the podcast here as a companion piece. You know, this is a hobby. So I'm not even pretending. I don't make any money from this. You know, this is pure fun for me. And I hope it's fun for you guys that read it or listen to the show. And I felt that was okay. But I wanted to do something better, make it look nicer. And I first started off with me kind of making a little light box for pictures. First, it was just a cardboard box with some white paper taped into it to make a nicer thing. And then I taped some grid pattern in there to try to make it look a little neat. And then my wife got me a light tent to take pictures with, and I was really appreciative of that. That's great. That's been a really big help. And I've been using that. I think this year I'm going to buy myself a new camera. You know, like I said, I don't, excuse me, I don't pretend to be a professional photographer or blogger or anything, but I want them to look nice. And I've been using the same camera my wife got for me, I want to say in 2014. She gave this to me. It's a point-and-shoot Kodak camera. It's a really good camera. It still works really good, and the pictures still look really good. But I think I might buy myself a newer camera here soon. And I'm not even going to try to front down. We'll buy some DSLR or whatever. It's probably going to be like a Nikon Coolpix, because I keep seeing them at Target, and I think they look great. You know, just something with a little bit of an upgrade from what I got now. Maybe. I say this now, and it might not be for a few more years that I finally buy one, but maybe I'll do that. I definitely like the light tint. I definitely enjoy the light tint, though. Using the lamps that come with and the little color backdrops and whatever gives me a nice base for taking a good picture. So sometimes I could be better with adjusting those lights, I think. Yesterday, I had set it up to take some pictures for about a good week's worth of toy-based posts there. And like I said, I'm not a professional photographer. I mean, I have taken pictures for a living before, and they looked wonderful. But in this setting here, I'm not a professional photographer or whatever, but I want them to look good. And I was like earlier cropping them and adjusting them some here, and I noticed, man, I could have did a better job adjusting those lights, because like there's ones you can definitely see where some areas are a little lighter and darker. And this one picture of a Starscream toy that's upcoming post here. He has this bright silver paint on his face, and it was practically a mirror in every single picture I took. And no matter what I did, I just kind of had to own up to it in a little caption like, yeah, I could have did a better job here. But I think that's one of the goals I have for the site coming forward. You know, also coming up in 2019, we have Toylana, Toylana will be, I think, the second weekend of March. And I'm really looking forward to going to that. I have such a great time there. Looking forward to seeing Sean and Dusty and whoever else is at the con this year. It's always such a great time. Every year I make a mental list of toys I want to look for there at the show. And I don't know why I do this. I never could follow it. You know, I always end up buying whatever I see there that year. Some years I barely buy anything, and some years I buy a good bit of stuff. Last year, and the Toylana started off as a 12-inch G.I. Joe convention called Joelana. And around 14, they expanded it to be a general toy convention. Now, Joelana still goes on. All those events they have for those 12-inch Joe fans still goes on. But it's like almost like a side department of the convention. Like, it's part of it, you know? And all the guys that go to Joelana still say, I'm going to Joelana. But they market it as Toylana because it's a general toy show, you know? And last year, you know, they always have a pretty decent selection of Transformers and different robot toys and what have you. There's always a guy with a bunch of Kaiju and like Sofubi and all that stuff. Last year, there was a lot of Power Ranger stuff, which I really dug. But there's this guy, there's two dealers. Actually, I said two dealers room. There's like good four or five dealer spaces. The entire convention is one giant dealer space. There's like several hundred dealers just set up, and some of them are just kind of set up wherever they could find room. There's just so many people there selling stuff. It's kind of amazing. And this one guy in the larger dealer room last year, he had a big booth set up across the back wall. And he had a ton of like, and on the back wall, he had like all these like Sideshow and I guess Mecha or whatever. Those high-end doll action figure type things in their boxes and displays of them. And then in front of him, he had a table with little boxes and a price on each one of like odds and ends. And he'd have like green army men for like 10 cents a piece. And he had like random Pokemon in another, and then like loose G.I. Joes in another. And he had all this stuff. It was really good stuff. He had like little monster toys in one. And then one box just said generically anime. And he had a sign on there. I forget the price, but I think it ended up being $4 for $20 as a group buy. So I guess it's $5 each, goodness. And shuffling through his anime, he had a ton of Beast Saga toys there. And so I think I bought a good $60 worth of Beast Saga from this guy. You know, you never know what you're going to get each year. I also got a little PVC Xenon from Superhero Samurai Cyber Squad for like $1 from him. You know, he had just all this great stuff, and I'm hoping he's there again this year with some more fun stuff. Maybe more Beast Saga, maybe a different selection than he had last year, or who knows, something like that. I really hope he's back there this year. I'm really looking forward to being there this year. Another thing I'm looking for is every time you go to a toy show, be it a little small toy show in a parking lot somewhere or a swap meet somewhere or whatever, there are always several dealers with boxes of like Hot Wheels. And I generally forge through those because you'll find like, hold on one second. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Maya. Those cursed allergies that want to flare up the minute I hit record. I'm sorry. I always kind of forge through those boxes because you never know what odd GoBot or smaller Transformer or whatever is folded up in its car mode stuck in there. And I can't tell you how many times I've lucked up on little guys. Like, you know, I got a Brawl once for a quarter. The guy just had a cheap plastic tank toy in this box of Hot Wheel cars, not knowing it was a G1 Brawl, you know, stuff like that. And so always shovel through those. And this past year, sorry, once again, I am terribly sorry. I hate how that always acts up the minute I have hit record. This past year, I became a fan of Zombot. The Hot Wheels toy Zombot, or sometimes I think it's called Computer Warrior or whatever, where it's a car shaped like a robot, and you can actually stand on its feet and it'll stand up like a robot action figure. The design's been around since, I guess, the mid-80s. This year, I became a fan of it when I... Last year, 2018, I became something of a fan of it when I... Because I always saw it. You know, I always saw it in pictures or whatever. And I never really paid it much attention. Because in the pictures, it looked huge. You know, it just looked like this huge toy. And I just kind of took it as some oddball toy that was part of some line I didn't pay a lot of attention to. And then one day, I got curious and just found out it was a Hot Wheel. And like literally that weekend, I was like, well, I wonder if I can find any. And like the minute I walked down the Hot Wheel aisle at Target, there he was, like just a bunch of them on the first shelf. Like, huh. So far I've gotten two of them. They're available in different colors. Last year there was a blue and a red one. And there's all these different variations of it. One with a gun, one without. I think one's got a different face. And I'm kind of hoping to scourge through some of those boxes and find a couple of variations of the Zombot, Computer Warrior, Robot Dude I don't have yet. That looks like a good time to me. And I say all this knowing the minute I show up there, I'll probably just walk around like a kid staring at a butterfly floating around and maybe, I don't know, buy a sticker. But I really hope those got that guy in the back wall's back. Last year, the past 2 years, I've seen a good amount of... Wow, what was that? Something fell. Hope it wasn't a Conjuring or anything. Anyway, a lot of 4-star knockoffs have been popping up in super good condition there. Like last year, I saw the Seeker. Actually, in 2016, I saw the white. And when I say Seeker, I mean the G1, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp, Seeker. Those 4-star knockoffs, they made original parts to go along with their knockoffs, so it wasn't like so obvious you were looking at a bootleg. And yeah, 2016, I saw the white one where he had like a different set of wings or whatever. And a guy wanted 60 for him, which wasn't too bad because he had everything, you know. And then last year, I saw the black Seeker that had, I think it's a different set of wings and guns and stuff they made for it. I don't know for sure. I'm not an expert on that stuff. But I think the person wanted like 40 for it. Well, that wasn't too bad either. A guy last year, there's always this one guy who has a good selection of like Transformers and GoBots, odd mask toys and Star Wars toys on his booth. And he had some Dicron toys sitting there. He had the Dicron version of Multiforce for, I want to say, 70. It was all boxed and sealed up. And I was like, man, I really don't feel like spending $70. On this thing, which I kind of wish I would have now looking back at, because it's been stuck in my head all year. So depending on what he's got next year, I might spend more than I should on some Dicron toys. Now, who knows? He might not have them this year. And I'll forever scream to the name, no! Could have had it. But I guess I've said it a few times over. I'm really looking forward to that show. It's the only convention I really go to anymore. I like to go to TFCon again. This year, it's in L.A. It looks like a really good show this year. I think they planned it in March to avoid accidentally competing with HasCon, not realizing HasCon would get canceled. Whatever. I'm not about to act like I know too much about that scene and why they would do it. But, you know, HasCon's canceled, so I guess they could have did it at their normal time this year. But a little too late for that. I'd love to go to that. It's in LA. That's just too far away for me. I haven't really been to a TFCon since 2015 anyway. I think after spending the bulk of my, actually almost all of my adulthood, because it's been about a good over 20 years of just traveling the world for Transformers conventions. And it's not that I haven't enjoyed it. There's just a point where you're like, what's local? You know, not that and wanting to go to destination-based vacations. My wife and I would like to do Gatlinburg this year. We wanted to do it last year, too, but it just kind of fell through. But we want to do like a week in Gatlinburg and just enjoy all the stuff. I'd really like to do that in Pigeon Forge. I really like to do that kind of thing. And we also want to move this year. Now, we've been planning on moving the past 2 years, and for whatever reason, it hasn't lined up. This year, we're both like, yeah, unless there's absolutely a dead end reason we can't do it, we're going to try our best to move this summer. So hopefully this year will be the year and we don't say again next year. Now this year we mean it. So that's in the aims too. So obviously going across the world to a toy convention is a little out of the way when you're talking about moving. Though going to the next state over to go to a cool tourist spot, think we can swing that in. I really want to do that. Another thing I wanted to talk about, this is a bad segue. I should have at least segued a little better my Toylana talk, but I guess I kind of blended into the 2019 talk. Another thing I wanted to talk about was this cool thing my wife got me for Christmas. I like to play video games, but the older I get, the more of a retro gamer I am. And I'm not even fighting that because I don't want to call myself strictly a retro gamer, not a gramer. Because I still play regular games. Actually, with some of my gift card money for Christmas, I got the newer Monster Hunter for my Switch because I like Monster Hunter. But also for Christmas, I got a subscription to the the Switch Online service, which I wanted specifically for the Nintendo channel, you know, which is ridiculous because I got the Nintendo Classic and Super Nintendo Classic in my bedroom. And I've got that Genesis thing that At Homes makes, which is really good. But she got me this great, At Games makes it too. They call it just Legends Flashback. It's a little console they made, and it uses the same body that they were using for the Sega Flashback consoles. The newer ones, they switched to a Sega Flashback console. It looks more like the Genesis or Mega Drive console to mirror those NES and Super NES Mini consoles. It's the same body they were using with that. It's just kind of like a basic, pleasant shape, you know? And it uses the Genesis 6-button controllers like they package with their Sega Flashback systems. But it's got 50 old arcade games. Like, it's not strictly arcade games. There's a handful of console games on there. There's like the NES version of Mega Man and Mega Man 2. There's another game or two I can't remember off the top of my head right now. And like, it's got a version of Tetris on it that I was told is the Famicom version, which honestly, we didn't enjoy playing as much as we thought we would because we're more accustomed to other versions of Tetris that this version, which is kind of played a little clunky. But then the rest of it is all arcade ports. And I don't mean ports as in they're straight, it's direct emulation of arcade games. And before any of you say I could have put some emulator on a Raspberry Pi and hooked it up, yeah, I'm not going to. So this is wonderful. It has Strider, has a Street Fighter 2. We're talking about the arcade versions, you know, not like emulation. Well, it is emulation, but, you know, like not, you know, some odd, you know, Amiga 64 version of it or whatever. It's the arcade games, and you have to push down and start to insert a quarter, you know, which that's a little bit of a challenge on its own when you've run out of credits and you got to remember, crap, I got to push down and start instead of just start so I can actually insert a quarter. But that's great. It's got Bad Dudes, which, internet meme all you want. Bad Dudes is a great game. I've always really liked that game. It's got two crude dudes, the kind of somewhat sequel. I guess it's a spiritual sequel, but by all intents and purposes, Two Crude Dudes is the follow-up to Bad Dudes. And the arcade game's name is Crude Buster. I think the home version is when they renamed it to Two Crude Dudes. It's got that on there, the arcade version. Great game. It's got Forgotten Worlds. I've always loved Forgotten Worlds. Excuse me. Ghouls and Ghosts, the arcade version. You know, all these. It's got a ton of Data East games on there. A lot of side-scrolling shooters. One of the games I was most pleased to see was, and I'm about to butcher the name, Miyuku Hunter G, which is a game from my childhood that I absolutely love. And if you're saying to yourself, if I love it so much, how come I cannot say the name right? That's because here in America, it was packaged as an arcade game of The Real Ghostbusters, the cartoon Ghostbusters that came on Saturday morning with Peter Venkman and all them. making a point to say the real Ghostbusters so you don't get confused with the Filmation Ghostbusters. Good show too, but you guys know what I'm talking about, with Slimer and the gang. And this game, Miyuku Hunter G, they swapped out some graphics and stuff for the American release to make it the real Ghostbusters, and I played it really regularly. I'm not saying it's the most stellar game ever made, but I've always really liked it. I always had a lot of good fun with it and probably put more quarters than I needed to into it. And when I got older, I started wondering, man, where can I get a copy of that? Because like I said, I don't really care about putting MAME on something or whatever. But if I can buy like one of those classic game collections that's on there, that'd be great. So I was looking it up where it would be at, and I was like, well, it's a licensed game. It probably won't be on anything. And that's when I found out that basically Data East had just, you know, put a fancy shirt on another game to sell as Ghostbusters. So here it is on this console, and I get to play it again. Sure, that's not Venkman. That's Guy with Gun. I don't know if they're... Honestly, I don't know if the guys have names in that game. I'm sure they do. But, you know, the guys I'm playing are different. But it's the same game, and I'm having just a ball playing it and getting really frustrated because it's not the easiest game in the world. Obviously meant to take every single quarter out of your pocket. Good thing I just pushing down and start to insert a quarter. Or in my case, a whole bunch at a time so I can just hit start when I die 1 second after dying. But man, that's a great little thing. Wow. If you ever see them, I always see them at Walmart. You know, Walmart has that area of their gaming section, or at least all mine do, where they have like the odd flashback consoles and all that. It's always stuck there. I've heard some people say they've gotten them at Walgreens or whatever. I've seen online where people are hacking them and loading more games onto it, which I'm not going to do, but I can see where that could be fun. It's got like an SD card slot where you can save game data and all that on there. So some people are hacking it and putting more games into it, which it's probably just an emulator, you know? So no doubt they did that. I mean, it has the Sega Genesis version of Judge Dredd. And then it has, like, obviously an NES emulator on it, and then obviously MAME. So I'm pretty sure you could just load whatever game in there and it'll work. But I'm not going to do that. But I've been seeing, like, people find them at Walgreens and stuff. And if you're into that whole scene like I am, that's totally a solid investment. I'm going to go play it when I get done. It's great. It's probably one of the best. I was about to say best gifts of the year, but she also got me Predaking from Power of the Primes, the Titan one. So it's tying up there. But I don't know how to segue from here. The meat of the show I wanted to talk about this month is, you know, a lot of people have talked about it probably as much as you want to hear in the past 2 weeks since it's been released. But I'm going to too, so I hope you guys don't mind. And I wanted to talk about the Bumblebee movie. You know, I saw it the Sunday before Christmas. It came out that weekend. I wasn't able to go to one of the early showings. I just, sometimes the chips don't land where you'd like them. So I went to see them that Sunday. Friday, I had to work that Friday night. Saturday, went to go see my father-in-law to do Christmas with them, you know. So Saturday morning, before working in a little bit last Christmas shopping, we had went to see it there. And man, I loved it. I've been really looking forward to Bumblebee movie ever since the first looks that were popping up and stuff. And I've been really enjoying buying the Energon Igniters toys, if you guys have probably all noticed if you read Zone Base. Really been enjoying it. I've got some of the Studio Series toys. I bought the Bee first time I saw it in September, you know. And I just got dropkicked the other day with some more gift card money. Actually, that same Wednesday after Christmas. I love the Bumblebee movie. I was liking the products going in. I like the look they gave it, the kind of faux retro look. I love the colors they're putting on the packaging. I like the look they gave all the characters. I keep saying look. I just loved everything about this, you know. And going into the movie, I was like, boy, this looks great. A lot of people are saying good things about it. But I hope I like it, you know, because the whole world can rave about a movie. That doesn't mean you're going to like it. You know, everyone's tastes are individual, and I loved it. I absolutely loved this movie. I'm I'm not a professional movie reviewer. I'm not. I probably could be if I wanted to, but I'm not. But I absolutely love this movie, and I can't wait to for it to come out in video, because I'm going to buy it like probably that day. You know, I really love this movie. I didn't just love it, but my wife loved it. She generally just tolerates these, the Transformers movies. You know, she liked the 07 one, and she kind of liked Dark of the Moon, which up to this point was my favorite. It might have competition now. And reasons I say it might have competition, because I just seen Bumblebee once. So a couple more viewings, you know, before I make such a rash decision. And she really liked the ride at Universal Studios. But for the most part, she tolerates the things. But she really liked this movie. I kept hearing the little awes and her little happy smiling about how cute he was during the movie. But more to the point of that, I found the movie just a good movie. Just a, you know, movie I was glued to the entire time, thoroughly enjoyed the plot, thoroughly enjoyed how everything went about during the movie. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a perfect movie. I don't know what movie is a perfect movie, because once again, these things are subjective. It had a few kind of little spots here and there that could have been tightened up on, but this was really a great movie. And hopefully, and judging by fan site reports or whatever, we're going to get some more like a all CGI animated movie. And I think I saw something about an Optimus Prime movie coming. Cool, man. I hope they're more like Bumblebee. And I'm not going to crap on the other movies. The other movies definitely have their fans. That's why there's five of them. You know, they've made a fortune. Everyone likes to say The Last Knight bombed, and that's because they don't know the definition of a bomb. It performed below expectations, because part 3 and 4 made $1 billion, and this thing made about just under 700 million. But, you know, it didn't do as well as it could have. But these movies printed money for like a decade straight. So, I mean, individual tastes, you know, people tell you up and down how much they don't like them, and they have every right to. I'm not going to crap on them. I've enjoyed them. Even with their faults, I've enjoyed them. But I like Bumblebee better, and I hope I have more movies like Bumblebee, because I really, 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 really liked it. Coming out at Christmas time was just the perfect time for him to come out, too, because there's all this cool Bumblebee merchandise stuff out with it, and go figure that ended up being some of those ended up being Christmas gifts. They had that cool Bumblebee display at Target and Walmart. Kroger and Walmart. And the ones at Kroger had all sorts of swaggy stuff like PJ pants and a thermos and stuff like that. And they put them out a little early because the Kroger my wife at the time was regularly stopping at clearanced them all out really quick right at Christmas time for some reason. So she bought a ton of that stuff for me. And I got the cool thermos and the lunchbox and all that. And just totally enjoying all this Bumblebee stuff around me. And at Walmart, they had that cool display. They still have it there at mine, where they put Cyberverse stuff and Rescue Bots, and they put movie stuff on there. You know, they put the mini cars from the last bit of the G1 reissues of this year on there and stuff like that. Just a great display. I was looking at it the other day. I really love this Bumblebee movie. I'm really happy about it, and I've loved the products that's come along with it. You know, I was already a fan of Studio Series toys. These Bumblebee movie ones that are part of it, I'm all in. Totally. And, you know, I've loved Energon Igniters. I know some people are like crapping on it. Whatever. You know, they're just simple Transformers toys sold at a lower price, and I'm totally digging it. That thermos is really nice. I'm almost scared to use it. You know, she got me, you know, I love this stuff. I'm very happy with this movie. And I really hope if Optimus Prime, his movie coming out, I hope it's close to this. I hope we get this good of a movie, if not better. One thing, I forget the actual name of the toy. One of the gifts my mom got me was a Bumblebee movie toy. The reason I'm saying I forget the name of it, because it has like a specific name for this Bumblebee toy. It's that larger one you'll see. It costs about $50, and it has the little spinning wheel on his chest. That one. She got me that toy among the things she got me for Christmas. And I was like, wow, because I saw him in stores. Like, wow, that's a neat looking figure. And I never really thought a whole lot about it. And here I am owning it. So we get home Christmas Eve night. after spending Christmas Eve at my mom's house, and I opened him up. What a great toy. Like, just a great figure. He could have been smaller, because it's basically a very large deluxe figure. He could have been a deluxe class figure, but they made him big, and I don't mind, because I loved playing with it. I was showing some of the guys in the jumbo group I'm in and enjoy a lot the toy, and they were like, wow, that's cool. And it's basically just a large Bumblebee action figure, you know. He turns into his classic Volkswagen form. It's the Bee from the movie, and he's got this ball in the middle. It's like a spinner wheel. And if you spin it, it lights up and he'll like say little lines or play a little music or whatever, and his eyes light up, that sort of thing. And when you transform him and you push him around, that rolls along and makes like radio noises and engine noises and stuff like that. It's a play gimmick. It's a toy, but it's a great toy. You know, I absolutely loved that thing. And, you know, I'm going to recommend you buy it. If you don't want to, don't buy it. Don't, you know, I'm not saying that, but man, if you've ever caught your eyes on that thing going, wow, what a good looking figure. It is. I'm so impressed by this thing. Like, wow. I really, man, I know as the year goes on, the Bumblebee stuff will get kind of forwarded out. That's just kind of how the nature of movie tie-in toys is. And it looks like Energon Igniters has a few more ways in it, thankfully. And I hope they kind of filter into Cyberverse or whatever, that style of toy. Because it's its own kind of thing. It's their Legion figures, name something else again. And those Power Series toys are, I keep seeing sites say they're like one-step turbo changers with the spring-loaded thing taken out. And that's not exactly true, but it's probably as close to a description as you're going to get. I just got a Nitro Series. I got the Barricade one. The other day, we went to Walmart to need some office supplies. My wife needed one of those day planner things and was grabbing some pens and stuff for work. And, you know, they had some stuff on clearance. And all the other Energon Igniters were at their same price. But for some reason, Barricade was $15, so I grabbed him. What a great toy. You know, just a great figure. And I've really enjoyed these. So hopefully those find life somewhere else. And that's not saying anything about Studio Series and Siege, which I've really been liking. I really like my Studio Series. And Siege is still kind of slow to get stocked out here in my area. You know, my wife got me the Micromasters and two of the Battlemasters at Christmas. And, you know, so far here 2 weeks later, I haven't seen anything else on shelves. And that's okay because it's January. Christmas was 2 weeks ago. I'll be okay waiting for it to show up till February. You know, I think I spent a fortune last month. So I'll be perfectly okay not spending much money for the next few weeks till these things show up. But I'm definitely all eyes on Siege stuff. I really, really love that stuff. I've loved it from the beginning, not just jumping on now that it's out. Love this stuff and really excited to see it. I really like those Battlemasters. But I'm just hoping these Energon Igniters find their way into something, because I've just really enjoyed it. And I've really, man, that giant Bumblebee figure, that's a great toy. I want to see more stuff like that. I can't say it will sell gangbusters or whatever, because I'm not a psychic. I don't even work in the industry. I'm not going to pretend to. I'm the one fan blogger and podcaster who's not going to pretend to know everything or understand how everything works, whatever. I have a rudimentary understanding, but I don't work at Hasbro. You know, I don't know what goes on in those meetings. I can guess based on meetings I've been in. And, you know, I know after all this time of things are going to go like this, this, and this. I don't know. You know, it looks like the Bumblebee movie is doing pretty well. It had a slow start there when it first started out, because it was neck and neck with Aquaman. And I don't care how cute Bumblebee movie is, I think everyone just loves Jason Momoa. So, I mean, everyone wanted to see Aquaman, and obviously the entire planet did, judging by its numbers. But Bumblebee's making pretty good numbers now. I think I just looked at it, and it's just a few million shy of $300 million, which is a good, really good return so far, considering it's like, what, $120 million to make? So they've made their money back, and basically double. So they've made back the budget and made that much profit. So that's great numbers for a movie. And, you know, it hasn't even opened completely worldwide yet. I think we got Japan in spring and stuff like that. So, and then, you know, don't count out video sales. That's money too going into the movie's profits. So I think by the end of it, it won't be $1 billion like Dark of the Moon was, but it doesn't have to be a success. It was a lower budgeted movie, and a couple of $100 million is nothing to sneeze at, you know. So hopefully get more of the same with that, and hopefully the toys for whatever movies come out are as fun as Energon Igniters and just all the other cool Bumblebee stuff. I don't have a word because I don't want to yell into my podcast here and blow out your ears. I don't want to. I want to, but I don't want to. I just really liked it. And I really loved it. And I want more of that. Well, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I've been talking for a few minutes. Let me look at the timer here. I have been going for 35 minutes. I think that's a pretty good time to cut this one out. Thanks everyone for listening. So far, I guess this is the 5th episode. I haven't really gotten any negative feedback. If there has been any negatives, I haven't seen it, and I'll keep it that way. You know, if you don't like the show, don't listen. I don't make any money from it, so you're not hurting my feelings if you don't listen to it. Everyone's been giving me positive feedback from it. I really appreciate that. Zone Base, www. Don't forget that. It's important. Zonebase.org. That's my fan blog. That's my site. That's where it's Robots, Monsters, and Misadventure, where I talk about all sorts of robot toys, not just Transformers, but they do kind of take the spotlight. It's my most dominant hobby. It's going to, you know, I'll talk about monsters like Godzilla and all that stuff, and Power Rangers and like Frankenstein, you know, and oddballer things like, you know, Burger King's, I really like going to Burger King, so I might put like a Burger King commercial or whatever. That's the main site. That's my fan blog. That's where this podcast is tied into. It's just a further expression of the site. I guess I don't really know how to say it, just the podcast of the site. So I appreciate if you check out zonebase.org. This podcast, though, Transform Squadron. Okay. Someone actually asked me once or twice, why do I keep calling the show Transform Squadron, considering it's a one-man show? It's a guy recording this thing by himself for 30 minutes once a month. Why am I calling it Squadron? The name Transform Squadron's on the site. It's been on the site for a very long time, and no one really notices it. And I'll go into a little explanation here. If you look at the site, go to zonebase.org, you'll notice the little tagline, Robots, Monsters, Misadventure, and there's some kanji right there. Kanji, however you say it. Transformers, as everyone knows, was started out as Hasbro taking Microman and Diaclone toys and rebranding them Transformers with their own fiction and names and stuff. Takara, seeing the success of that, was going to make their own Transformers line, and they did, of course. And when they first started off, they pretty much planned to be Diaclone and Microman as one line, as a merged line, just calling it Transformers Henshin Sentai. And Henshin Sentai means Transform Squadron. So the name Transform Squadron is just a roundabout reference to the early days of Transformers. And that kanji up on the site is just basically Henshin Sentai and kanji. I hope it's right, because basically what happened was I put Henshin Sentai into Google Translate to get the kanji to copyright, and that's what it gave me. So hopefully it's right. The funniness, though, is I accidentally put it in. I clicked something wrong, like had it reversed, and that's where it said Transform Squadron. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Shense, because Sentai means squadron, and Henshin means transform. So that's where your name comes from. That's me being clever. But Transform Squadron, the podcast, good night. The podcast is zonebase.org. Can be found on its network at tfradio.net. That's where all the shows and showtimes are. Please go check it out. And Brian Kilby would absolutely love it if you checked out those Amazon links there on the site. To help him support the network. Totally appreciate if you do that. I'm going to get out of here. I'm Rob. And, of course, zonebase.org is where you can find everything at. But also, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RoboRobSpringer. I like Instagram better than Twitter, but always make sure I post blog links to Twitter. I when I first started doing the site, I had posted everywhere, and I got really tired of doing that. I started kind of feeling like a clickbait site doing that. And since I don't have ads or anything, I was like, why am I doing this? I'm just sharing what I've made. You know, if you don't want to look at it, don't look at it. I hope you do, but you know what I'm saying? So I share a little on Instagram, but I mostly just do that share on Twitter, and it gets the word out, hey, there's a new post, and that's all I'm trying to do. So, but I like Instagram a lot better. I think a lot of people do too, as it's seemingly becoming the major social network these days. But you can find me there and on Twitter at that little swirly A, Robo Rob Springer. Thanks everyone so much for watching. I'll be back next month in February with a brand new episode. Hope everyone has a happy new year. Hope everybody recovers financially from the holidays. We're all January broke for the next few weeks. The major holidays at the end of the month, and then you got to pay bills at the beginning of the next month. It is what it is. Being an adult. Oh my God. I was about to say, isn't being an adult fun? And then I completely crashed. English is a mystery to a man, and it's the only language I speak. But thanks everyone for listening. Hope you guys check out the blog, and see you next time. Later.